Today on Real Radio.
Chapter 15 is the setting of the players for the last final battle of the summer, so to speak. It is going to be over when chapter 15, the things that make up chapter 15 are over. These are the bold judgments of God. This is it. And it's at the end of the bold judgments. There's seven of them. At the seventh one, Jesus Christ returns in the second coming. And it's over. By the way, those of you who are Bible students, keep this in mind. The seven bold judgments, most scholars believe that they will be completed within several months period of time. Once they start, it is a rapid succession of God releasing his wrath upon the earth via the bold judgments, unlike any other time in human history.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always. My days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the book of Revelation. We're going to be looking at the first eight verses of chapter 15. It's a passage that, as is often the case in John's visions, speaks of angels, seven to be exact, and there are seven plagues. It's another part of this apocalyptic book that speaks of the wrath of Almighty God. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a study called Take Your Positions, Everyone.
A little bit of background as to chapter 14. You remember chapter 14 that introduced us to what is called a parenthetical chapter. It's a technical term. Chapter 14 is a chapter that is in non-chronological order. Chapter 14 gave us what we'll call vignettes of events or a series of events that make up the Great Tribulation period. And chapter 14 gave you these events in non-chronological order. That's key. If you're studying the Bible and you view it as in a chronological order, when you come to chapter 14, it's going to blow your mind because the book of Revelation is very interesting. It gives you some chronological data, and then it stops. And if you're not aware, if you're not careful, you will think that you're reading something that's like something else that you've already read, but it's a little bit different. Well, what happens is, it's much like the Gospels. There's four Gospels. There's a reason why there's four Gospels and four Gospel writers. For example, one event that's shared in Matthew, that same event is covered in the other Gospels, giving you a little bit of a different angle and a vantage point of view. It will point out certain things or highlight certain aspects that the other gospel didn't point out. The book of Revelation does that. There's these chapters and then it stops, and there's a chapter that seemingly makes no sense to you because it kind of seems like we've already read it, and it kind of seems like we're looking ahead. In reality, that's exactly what's going on. Chapter 14 covers all 7 years of the Great Tribulation period, and now we get into chapter 15, and chapter 15 is an amazing chapter. Look, it's only eight verses, and I think last service we got through maybe three or four of the verses. Why? Chapter 15 is so important. It sets up the scene for what's going to happen in chapter 16. It's very, very important. You can't just jump ahead to chapter 16. You've got to know chapter 15 before you go to 16. Now, I want to share with you something about the title of the message this morning, and that is Take Your Positions, Everyone. That's what it's all about, is God setting things up for the last final push as we come now to what's called the vile or bold judgments of the tribulation period. Now, if you remember, and it's been a long time, but it goes this way. When Jesus was handed, remember he went before he who sat upon the throne? Jesus went before the Father after John had been weeping because no one was found worthy to take the scroll, remember, and take it out of the hand of him who sat upon the throne. And then the angel said, John, don't cry. There's one worthy, the Lamb of God who was slain. Jesus Christ, he's worthy. And the Bible told us that Jesus went up and took the scroll out of the hand of him who sat upon the throne. And Jesus alone was worthy to loose the seals. Anybody remember how many seals were there? Anybody? Seven seals. And the seven seals, as was history in those times, the times of Christ via the Roman Empire, a certificate or a will, a testament, a document of a wealthy, powerful person was sealed with seals of requirements, meaning that not just anybody could unseal or loose the scroll. Someone had to meet the requirements. So the seven seals, we don't know what they say, but we just know that this testament, this document is sealed with seven seals. It's Jesus who qualifies to take the scroll out of whose hands? God's hands, his Father's hands. Jesus takes the scroll and loose the seals thereof, and seal number one, seal number two, seal number three are all aspects that are related to the great tribulation period, the 7 years. They're requirements for not only Christ to be qualified for, which he does, but there are also edicts placed upon the earth. So when the scroll is loosed, the one who is qualified takes the scroll, the seal off the scroll, and here is what earth receives. Now, as we look to this, we've come now to the seventh seal. Now watch, the seventh seal, in the seventh seal, it reveals seven trumpets. There's the first trumpet blown, second trumpet blown, down and down you go until you get to the seventh trumpet. We've already studied that part. The seventh trumpet is blown, and the seventh trumpet announces the vile judgments or the bold judgments that chapter 15 sets us up for. And they're the worst. But there's light at the end of the tunnel. These are the last ones. And soon God will culminate this period of time that we've been studying now for over a year that is comprised or makes up what it's called the 7 year tribulation period. Now, it all comes down to setting the stage. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, we knew how to play. We had toys. We didn't have video games. We didn't sit around and eat donuts and Coke and get fat and sit, you know, with our faces plugged in front of the TV. We actually ran around. We had bikes and pumped with our feet instead of doing it on a video game. And one of the things that I was an absolute, absolute maniac about, Bobby Schroeder, he was a maniac about this. Bobby Kelly, him too, the three of us. Every summer, the day after school was let out, my mom, bless her soul, she would grab us because we'd been hounding her for months to take us down to the Army-Navy surplus store. And we'd go to the Army-Navy surplus store and we'd buy all the stuff that we could get. The clothing, the Army clothes, all the stuff, the helmets. We're all dressed up. We're little kids, but we're all dressed up. Why? Because we had a great method to the madness. And it was when we'd get back home, we'd start another summer of incredible exploits in military warfare. My backyard was the backyard of choice. I thank God for that. I didn't have to go far to indulge myself. We would get out there in the dirt, and we had what is called G.I. Joes. They were amazing. Not the little silly ones that they have now, the little pretend G.I. Joes. Our G.I. Joes were huge. They're about 12 or 13 inches tall. They came in a box, and they had, there's the Navy G.I. Joe, the Army G.I. Joe. We had the Special Forces G.I. Joe. We had the guns and the stuff and the Jeep. We had everything. We had gunny sacks full of G.I. Joe stuff. And it was the best. Years upon years of G.I. Joe military action figure paraphernalia put in that thing and used. We would set things up. We had uniforms. We had outfits. We had all this stuff. And we'd begin to position the guys, but we would first get dressed up like them. We'd get the dirt out there and everything set. And listen, don't try this at home, apparently, but this is what we did back in those days. We would set G.I. Joe up. We used real bricks for him to be behind a little bunker. We had everything laid out so cool. And we took firecrackers and stuck them in the ground with the fuse sticking out. Back in those days, we would go down to the hobby shop or to the liquor store and buy testers or Mattel glue. Back then you could buy glue because nobody ever thought about sticking glue up your nose. What a perverse thought. We used to use them with airplanes and models, but it was highly flammable. And we would put glue on G.I. Joe's outfits and stuff and in the dirt. And we'd get these guys all positioned. It was very cool. And we were so excited. And listen, we also had, because, you know, we were really, in fact, we had a little motto way back then. We had a motto, no real, no deal. It had to be real-like, had to be lifelike. That's why we had to be dressed up. And you might be saying, you know, Pastor, I've had years of psychology. You're really a sick person. You're living out childhood fantasies even now, you know, and you, and yeah, so what of it? Maybe you ought to try it. It'll help you out. We had the greatest time. And we would do this all summer long, and we'd get out there when the sun would come up, and we stayed out there until we had to come into the house at night. And we'd have everything so set and so ready. The stage was set. Everyone's in their positions. And then right when we were ready to go, and I don't know if my brother ever figured this out, but we would go into his room and get his Radio Shack realistic guitar amplifier. With an extension cord, we'd take it out in the yard, plug it into the garage, and grab a microphone that's kind of like this. And of course, it had a wire on it, but we'd get all ready, and everything's in position. We'd all look at each other, and we had, to make it even more lifelike, we had these wrist rocket slingshots with marbles in our pockets. So G.I. Joe's there, and mortar, and incoming, and the dirt would fly up. It was so real. But you know what? I had a cool job that's carried over into my adult life. The morning silence would be pierced every morning. And it would go like this. It was so cool. Seriously. We'd turn up that amplifier full blast, and you would hear this. So... you say, Pastor, you're sick. That's how it started every day of every summer for years. As soon as I would release all the noise, the guys, they got the slingshots going, and I'd put down the microphone, and I'm going, and we're blowing stuff up, and then we'd go over there and light the fuse, and boom, and the stuff would, everything would go crazy, and everything's burning, and at the end of the day, we'd salvage what we could. No, really. We'd salvage what we could, and we'd make things work out, and we'd start all over again until come summer's end. There was nothing but bits and pieces, you know, of stuff. And we just loved it. We just had so much fun. And I guess it's a guy thing, and only the guys can relate, I think, maybe. I know you girls would never get Barbies and dress up like Barbie and put makeup on your Barbie and you and all that stuff. But this is kind of a guy thing. All the players were set. Chapter 15 is the setting of the players for the last final battle of the summer, so to speak. It is going to be over when chapter 15, the things that make up chapter 15 are over. These are the bold judgments of God. This is it. And it's at the end of the bold judgments. There's seven of them. At the seventh one, Jesus Christ returns in the second coming, and it's over. By the way, those of you who are Bible students, keep this in mind. The seven bold judgments, most scholars believe that they will be completed within several months' period of time. Once they start, it is a rapid succession of God releasing his wrath upon the earth via the bold judgments, unlike any other time in human history. So keep that in mind as we look to our study this morning, Revelation 15, beginning at verse 1 down to verse 8. We'll go as far as we can this morning. Then I saw another angel... in heaven. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested. After these things I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. That's a radical verse. And out of the temple came the seven angels having the seven plagues, clothed in pure, bright linen, and having their chests girded with golden bands. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. The temple was filled with the smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no one was able to enter the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed. Pretty gruesome stuff, isn't it? Pretty scary. And I got to tell you, it is scary if you don't know God. It's stuff like this that people who might play Bible roulette, you know what Bible roulette looks like? Okay, God, let's see if you're real, and I'm going to read the Bible, see if it makes any sense. And people who play Bible roulette, they go like this. And they open it up, and Judas went out and hung himself. Oh, that's really encouraging. Oh, boy, just love the Bible. Or they turn to a verse like this where the scripture says that God comes out of his throne room and there's fire and there's power and there's this bowl of God's wrath that's to be poured out. And people say, man, I don't want anything to do with that. Well, just, you know, jumping into the end of the book is not the way you ought to start reading the book. By the time we come to this portion of scripture, the earth has qualified to receive judgment. Now, nobody wants to hear that. And I got to tell you, it's not fun to preach it, but it's accurate to preach it, that God is loving, God is gracious, God is merciful. By the way, whatever type of sinner you might be this morning, I'm a certain type, maybe you're another type, the type doesn't matter. Jesus died for all the sins of the world, all of us. Jesus died for the man who is so self-righteous in his morality, and he looks down his nose at others, and he says to God, I thank you, God, I'm not like other men. Now, you may be harder to reach than anybody else because of your arrogance, but God died for you too on the cross. You might be a prostitute this morning that someone's clothed and put their clothes or a robe on you and brought you in here. Jesus died for you on the cross. He died for everybody in between. God doesn't grade on a curve. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we need a salvation. You know, we're celebrating Christmas. I hope you're celebrating Christmas. If you're not celebrating Christ Mass, then you are an absolute hypocrite. Oh, is anybody from the ACLU out there? Can I say that again? If you are not celebrating the Christ of Christmas, don't call it Christmas. Call it Happy Pagan Season. Call it Heathen Week. Heathen Week on Fox, you know, sounds like that, something like that. But how dare you say Christmas? How dare you say Merry Christmas? Why don't you just stop playing the hypocrite and get out of it completely? And whatever you do, don't get gifts to each other, you hypocrite. You shouldn't do that, because the gifts symbolize the very coming of Christ. God gave his gift, Jesus, for the sins of the world. That's what Christmas is about. And if you have a hard time with it, then just tune out of it. Now people are scared to death to pitch a nativity scene for fear of the ACLU. It's insane. But boy, they like the money it brings in, huh? That Jesus, he's quite a moneymaker when you get a sale at Nordstrom's or whatever it is. Christmas, it's Christ Mass, the gathering of those who believe in Christ. God puts up with sin. He puts up with all that stuff. But chapter 15 brings us to the place where God says, that's it. No more. You say, well, I don't like that. It's too bad. I mean, I don't like it either. But I gotta tell you, the night I got saved, I walked into Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. Greg Laurie was preaching a message on hell. Can you believe that? On hell. I've never been to church in my life. I sat down. Can he say hell in a church? And when Greg Laurie got done, I knew this. I didn't know much, but I knew this. Whoever he was talking about in that message, it was me. I mean, I was like, yikes, I'm doing those things. And then I'd go along, well, I'm not doing that one, not doing that one. Oh, I'm doing that one. I knew by the end that when Greg got done preaching, I better do something. I knew that if I walked out of that sanctuary, I would be saying, God, stay out of my life. I couldn't do that. I went forward and I gave my heart to Christ and my life changed. What are you going to do with Jesus? You say, Jack, I don't like this judgment stuff. If you don't like it, do something about it. Bow your knee and say, Lord, come into my life. I want Christmas in my life. Lord, give me your gift. I encourage you to do that rather than hang on and inherit this terrible stuff that you don't have to have anything to do with. By the way, Bible student, take note, chapter 15, if you're a Christian this morning, you can write it right even the margin of your Bible. I will not experience chapter 15. You can put that down there with confidence, man. Because God has promised throughout his word that we've been delivered from the wrath to come. That word wrath has nothing to do with hell. It's the word wrath, God's indignation or judgment that he brings upon the earth. You will not see that in that 7-year tribulation period. First thing that we look at this morning is this, jot it down. Again, we'll go as far as we can. Point number one is God's witness. God always leaves a witness. That's what we see, and that's what we're reminded of in verse one. When God leaves a witness, he's faithful to do that, and he gives it to mankind. Will you jot that down? God is always faithful to leave man a witness. How so? John says here in verse one, then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. The words here, another sign, we immediately are remembering what that was all about. This is now the third sign that God gives John to see. The first two signs were both found in chapter 12. Sign number one, a great sign or a wonder in heaven. John said, chapter 12, verse 1, he said, I saw a woman in heaven clothed with the sun and the moon and the 12 stars. We went on to know that that's the nation Israel. I love this. Watch this. Sign number one regarding the last days, Revelation 12, verse 1. First sign, there will be the woman in association with the 12 stars and the sun and the moon.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In the first part of a study called Take Your Positions, Everyone, it's a look at the first 8 verses of Revelation chapter 15, where we see more of John's visions of 7 angels and 7 plagues. We'll pick up with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, so be sure and join us again. Now, as we come to the end of today's broadcast, we'd like to remind you about a double DVD offer that we're making to you, and we know that the subject matter in this double DVD set applies to you. How do we know? Because everyone has struggled with doubt. That includes you. So the question becomes, why do we struggle with doubt? Well, that's the very title of this presentation by Pastor Jack Hibbs. Why do we struggle with doubt? Remember Peter? How about Thomas? It has been men like these who become the strongest and most effective soldiers for Christ. Why do we struggle with doubt? The double DVD series taken from Luke 7, where Pastor Jack gives us 10 reasons why we all struggle with doubt. This DVD set is yours for a tax-deductible donation to Real Radio of any amount. So when you get in touch, simply ask for it by name. Why do we struggle with doubt? How to contact us? More than one way. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Our address once again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Our telephone number is easy, 909-393-7100, 909-393-7100. And of course, all of our contact information can be found at www.realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Real Radio is a broadcast outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and is able to continue on the air reaching people for Christ because of your contributions. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine
amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.